It's not an idea that's new. For centuries, New Orleanians have been taking in lodgers. But technology and a changing culture have transformed the way house rentals work. Airbnb, VRBO, HomeAway, even couch surfing sites are all making short-term rental options not only a lot easier, but also vastly more widespread. Today we're talking to attorney Andrew LeGrand about the Airbnb ordinance recently passed by the New Orleans City Council and what it means for locals. Hello, Andrew, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Renee. I appreciate it.
So first, give us a quick recap of what the new ordinance does.
So the new ordinance creates a licensing and registration scheme for people who want to short-term rent. Basically, similar to Uber, similar to food trucks, what's happened is, although short-term rentals right now are illegal, and before the legislation were completely illegal, too many people were doing it. Too many people wanted to rent space when they visited the city, and too many people in the city wanted to rent their space and share their space. So the city basically had to do something about it. The laws that it's replacing are from 1956. They weren't designed around new technology. So the city went through and created a new scheme with this new business model created by Airbnb in mind to license it, to allow it, and to tax it.
They're calling this revolutionary landmark legislation, is it?
Well, I think why it's revolutionary is the city has actually gotten Airbnb to play with them in this, to agree to provide some of the data. Other cities have tried to do other things, but it doesn't seem like any city's really done a model deal. So the point is, Renee, if you go and list your house and your property for rent, you're going to go to Airbnb, supply that data to them. They're going to have it. They're going to send it back to the city of New Orleans by law and by contract. So the city of New Orleans can say, okay, here's Renee's property. Here's the nights she rented. Let's look to see if she has a license. It makes enforcement of it much easier.
Talk about the cultural and lifestyle changes that have created this phenomenon. Is it technology? Is it the fact we're a more mobile society and we're traveling more? Is it the bachelor party mentality? What is causing this industry to boom?
I think it's the ease of someone being able to rent their property on Airbnb. You know, so take away the technology of doing it. Let's go back 20 years pre-internet even there, right? How do you rent your spot to someone who wants to come and rent? I mean, you got to take out an ad in the paper. You have to somehow advertise that. You have to arrange for payment. You have to arrange for a calendar to figure out when people are coming. It used to be very hard. I think the technology's made it so easy because now anyone can go on Airbnb, take some pictures on their smartphone, enter in a few details, describe the place, how much they want to charge, give Airbnb their bank account, and Airbnb is managing your calendar, making sure you're not double booked. I think the biggest part is they're managing credibility. You know, both the landlord and the tenant are now screened. They're connecting their Facebook accounts. There's reviews behind them. So I think to me, it's, to answer your question, technology. It's made people much more comfortable with the idea of renting to a stranger because they kind of know who that stranger is through social media.
I do think that part of the controversy around short-term rentals lies in behavioral issues, quality of life issues for neighborhoods. And how do you monitor that? You know, and how do we keep renters from disrespecting the neighborhood?
At least one of the big issues that you see kind of discussed on the internet is I can do whatever I want with my property. And saying that you can do whatever you want with your property is simply not true. We have zoning laws. I can't buy a house in a residential area, tear it down, and build a nuclear power plant. There's a lot of objective requirements in the new law. Right? You have to submit a floor plan and a site plan to the city. You have to have $500,000 of liability insurance. Those are pretty clear, right? There's a couple of what I like to call subjective requirements in the law, too, where the property cannot affect the character of the neighborhood. It can't be a nuisance to the neighborhood. So the city's built these kind of two subjective requirements in there, basically giving them the ability to say, you're being a bad actor, and we're going to take this away from you because you're taking away from the character of the neighborhood, or you're being a nuisance, you're violating noise laws, we're going to enforce these laws on you.
It's sort of fitting that it's happening in New Orleans because we have, since Katrina, become a very entrepreneurial city. So maybe it being a tourist city and an entrepreneurial city, maybe it's a good place for this to happen.
Right. And not only that, but it's also, you know, you mentioned a touristy city. We're high up there in terms of how many tourists come to our city per year and how small we are. That's a very high ratio for us. And the flip side of that is, last study I looked at, we had a very high number of Airbnbs per person in the city as well. So I think that's kind of made this problem in New Orleans unique, is that combination of low number of residents, very high number of tourists, and a very high number of Airbnbs. I mean, that's just simple supply and demand, right?
Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us today and giving us the background on all of this.
I appreciate it, Renee. Thank you for having me.
For WWNO and NOLA V, I'm Renee Peck.